Well, bless your hearts. Please take your Bibles and go to Psalms. I'm very thankful to share God's word this morning. My gosh, after hearing those manifestations, how awesome was that? And isn't it nice? I'm going to be sharing on comfort, how to comfort the heart of a believer. And we're going to start in Psalm 23, please. Psalm 23. And verse 4 says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." Now, isn't that just a cool phrase in God's word? God's word has such beautiful, beautiful things. People don't always recognize how wonderful God's word is. Just the way things are written is so awesome. "I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." I do that every day. I don't know about you, but anyway, it's called Route 17 in my life. Because though I walk through, of course I'm driving, but it seems like I'm walking through the valley of death. But he says, "I will fear no evil." He apparently never went through Paramus. But no. But really, he goes, "Even though I'm going through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Now, any shepherds in here? Sheep herders, no? Pig farmers? Anybody who's eaten a steak? Oh, okay. So, the rod and the staff. The rod is actually... These are the two tools of the trade for a shepherd. So if you're ever, thinking of putting that on your resume, you need to know about these two things. The rod. The rod was what the shepherd used to correct the sheep. You know, little Freddy over here is going off the wrong way. So the shepherd comes and he just taps him on the back with this little rod. "Hey, Freddy, get back in," because they knew him by name. They really did. You know, "Get back in there with everybody." And he would take the rod and he would just whack the little lamb on the back, and the little lamb would go right back in with the other sheep. And then the staff was actually used for protection. So the rod was for correction and the staff was used for protection. So, a wolf comes along, tries to get to the sheep, bag lady, whatever it might be, he's got his staff, and the staff he would use for correction, and they would get very good at taking care of predators with the staff. So that's what this verse is talking about, the correction from God's word and the comfort from God's word, the way that God helps us to have discipline and protection. Discipline and protection from God is a comfort. It's a comfort to the believers. Now, we also have God's discipline and his comfort. Look at Psalm 119, please. Yes, it's the long one. 119, verse 722. No, we'll settle for 50, okay? 119, verse 50. So, discipline and protection, that causes a comfort to God's people. 119 and verse 50. It says, "This is my comfort." So here we go. Everybody, here it is. "This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me." Quite honestly, that could easily be the end of the teaching. But they gave me a lot more minutes, so we're going to have to go on. But this is it. Where does comfort come? God's word. That's the long and the short of it. God's comfort comes from God's word. Anything else besides that would not be considered true comfort. And he says, "Thy word hath quickened me." The word, it makes me alive. God's word, his life-giving word, it gives me comfort. Let's go, please, to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. Now, in the New Testament, there are several words that are translated comfort. And I just wanted to mention a couple of them, because there's really two words that are used most often for the word comfort or the word exhortation or encouragement. These words are translated all of those things. One of them is called paraklesis, you know, like para, like parakeet, paraklesis. And that literally means to call to one side. Okay, so para is beside, and klesis or kaleo, we know, is the word for call, right? To call to one side. That's literally what the word means. And the other word is paramuthia. It kind of sounds like what it is. Muthia. Paramuthia. Para, to one side. Muthia means to speak. When you hear the definition, you'll see it's pretty cool. So paraklesis and paramuthia, okay? Paraklesis means to call to one side, okay? And paramuthia means to speak to one side, okay? I want to give you an example here. Alyssa, would you help me, please? Come on up here for a second. Okay, so parakaleo. Alyssa, could I talk to you for a minute?
Sure.
Come over here. Okay, she's to my side, see? Parakaleo. You know, Alyssa, you really should not have punched Joel last night. It's not in God's word. Now, you know, you're doing really great. You didn't shoot anybody this week. Everything, I know you're doing really much better as a believer, and that's really wonderful. See, that's paraklesis. It's encouragement. Call to your side. See, you're over here. I go, can we talk? You know, and then she comes to my side, and we talk. That's paraklesis. It's encouragement. And then the other word, paramuthia, paramuthia is to speak to one side, is more like this. And you know, God's really going to take care of you. Don't worry about all those people out there that are bothering you, because God's word says that there's a day coming and they're going to be judged. You don't have to worry about that. So you just walk as God's best. That's paramuthia. See, to speak to one side, to tenderly speak to one side. When paraklesis is more like encouragement, you know, well, you know, okay, we got to work on this here, but you keep on God's word. Okay, so those are those two words. Thank you. Hand, please, for my assistant. So that's what they literally mean. In Matthew chapter 9, we're going to actually look at a different word. Sorry, it's not one of those two, but that's mostly what we're going to look at today, okay, are those words. But this one in Matthew is actually a cool word study. If you ever want to do a word study, this one is really awesome. It's the word that is translated, be of good cheer or be of good comfort. And it's awesome. If you don't have a lot of time, it's an easy word study because it's only used a few times. But it's really fantastic. And I want to show you this because I think it's fantastic. In Matthew chapter 9, we're going to see there's kind of like a deal with this phrase. There's a problem, some kind of a problem, and then there's this phrase, be of good cheer or be of good comfort, and then there's the great deliverance, the great solution. So in Matthew 9, we have that. Verse 19. Let me just tell you what's happening here. Jesus Christ was asked to go help somebody, and so he did. He went to help this guy with a problem that he had, his daughter who was sick. And on the way, he gets interrupted. Ever happened to you? You know, sometimes we think interruptions are such a terrible thing, but sometimes interruptions are fantastic because you get the opportunity to give somebody God's word. I like getting interrupted sometimes. Well, anyway, it says, verse 19, Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. So here's a woman who had been sick for 12 years. And she said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment. Now, did Jesus have magic clothes? No, he didn't, did he? It wasn't the magic hem. You know, you can buy a Jesus cloth on eBay now. You know, it's got magic in the hem. No, it's not like that. You know, like catnip that they have. You know, it's not like that. But Jesus Christ, because of the power of God that was in him, she said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be whole. And in verse 23, But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour, which means immediately. So it's a cool word, isn't it? Be of good cheer. Be of good comfort. Here's somebody who had a big need in her life, and Jesus Christ said, be of good comfort. Your believing has made you whole. My favorite one is in Acts 27. We're not going to look at all of these, but I told you that's a good word study. You can impress all your friends with this one. Acts 27. So deliverance by God's word brings comfort. Deliverance brings comfort. All right, here is, this one's worse than Route 17. I've never been in this situation. Hope I never am. Paul is on a ship bound for hell, it seems. He's on this ship, and they're having a really tough time because a big storm comes up. And let's look at verse 20, 27, verse 20. By the way, you know, Paul was a prisoner at this time. It was when he was being taken to Rome via a very long route, and this big storm came up. And verse 20 says, and when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. Okay, that's a pretty bad situation, isn't it? I don't like it when the sun doesn't come out in one day. When it's not sunny, we're terrible in my house. We come down and we go to the breakfast table, we look out and we go, oh. Because we just love the sunshine. But many days, no stars, no sun, and a big storm. Now, verse 22. So, doesn't look so good, does it? These are trained, what are those sailor people called? Sailors. These are trained sailors. And verse 21, but after a long abstinence, you know, it's probably because they couldn't keep any food down because of the problem there. Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have listened to me. I can just see this. You should have listened to me. He goes, and have not loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. And now, verse 22, I exhort you to be of good cheer. What in the world is he saying to us? The whole world is coming to an end around us here, and here's this lunatic prisoner saying to us, oh, okay, dudes, be of good cheer. But look at what he says. For there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. It looked pretty bad, probably worse than most of us have ever seen in our lives. But did it matter that it was that bad? Because he believed God, they could be of good comfort. You don't have to be controlled by the circumstances around you, what it looks like, because we have God's word. And if we have God's word, we can be of good comfort. What happened? They were all saved. The ship blew into a million pieces, but every person was saved, just like Paul said, because he believed God. Believing God brings comfort. So let's please turn to Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah chapter 30. I remember once many years ago, Mrs. Werwell teaching on that section of scripture, and she mentioned that this be of good cheer, it's like rearranging your thoughts. Of course, she said like rearranging the furniture in your house, you know. So you rearrange your thoughts to put everything in order. You know, like me, I get home from work and the furniture's all somewhere else that it wasn't when I left. You know, the house was rearranged. But this is to rearrange, to put things in order, you know, that you can be of good comfort. The world could be crazy out there. It might look very grim, but God's word says we can be of good comfort because we believe God, and God can take care of all those things. Well, let's look at a counterfeit comfort. Isaiah 30. Sorry, I'm not there yet. Isaiah 30, verse 8. Now, the children of Israel were really messing up, as was their custom. And here, God spoke to the prophet, and in verse 8, he says, "Now go, write it before them in a table, and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come forever and ever." He's talking about his word. He says, "I want you to write down my word so it can be forever and ever." And honestly, isn't that fantastic that God had his word written down? Because today, which seemed like forever and ever from that time, we still have God's word. It's written down. And we know the word of God liveth and abideth forever. He says, and then so look at verse 9, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, "See not." You know what a seer is? Prophet, right, said to the prophet, that's what they called him, a seer. Said to the seers, don't see what God tells you. And to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things. We don't want to hear the things of God. We don't want to hear those things. This is a pretty bad situation for people to be in. They say, speak unto us smooth things. I think of CD 101.9, smooth jazz. It's a counterfeit, people. You might like it, but it's a counterfeit. Sorry. There's other stations that have real jazz, but anyway, that's my opinion. Okay, that's not from the Word of God. But it's just smooth. It sounds so elevator-like. Anyway, smooth things, prophesy deceits. They wanted smooth words, words that were easy. That's the counterfeit. This word smooth means smooth, slippery, or flattering. Some people like to be flattered. Well, let's go to Romans 16, please. Romans 16. Is there comfort in flattering words? We will find out not. Romans 16. Smooth, CD 101.9. Okay, chapter 16, verse 17. 16:17. Now here's some reproof. I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. This is God's word. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Okay, good words and fair speeches. Good words here, it's this good words that's translated by Thayer as fair speaking, the smooth and plausible address which simulates goodness. It simulates goodness. What's a simulation? It's not the real thing, is it? You know, like a space simulator. They shake you all around and do all that stuff. It's not real. That's the way it's supposed to be like in space. Well, that's a simulator, right? It's not the real thing. So this is stuff that simulates goodness. And the word fair speeches, it means, in a bad sense, language artfully adapted to captivate the hearer. Fair speaking, fine speeches. It's kind of, to me, like the TV show 24. Any of you ever watch it? Okay, I'm not going to get on your show 24, don't worry. But Jack Bauer, he's always saying this. If you haven't seen it, I'll just tell you. This guy, Jack Bauer, he saves the world every hour. Every hour on the show. He saves the entire world from terrorists. So I guess he's a good guy. But every show, he says to somebody, it seems like every show, he goes, "It'll be fine, I promise." You ever notice that? He's always promising everybody everything will be fine. I promise. And he goes off and he does all of his stuff and never sleeps. And he comes back and and it's supposed to be fine, but I remember a show that I just saw, I'm about 17 seasons behind everybody else, that I just saw where he said that to this woman, and in the next episode, they find her dead in the back of a pickup truck. Watch those fair speeches. He doesn't have the power to make that promise. We need God's word that has the power that we can make a promise. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Jack Bauer, saving the world. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. My wife hates that show because she can't believe someone can get kidnapped so many times in their life. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Do they have 24, the show in Ecuador? Ah, okay. Jack Bauer. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Wait till I get on The Sopranos today. No, I'm done with it. Okay, 1 Thessalonians 2. Let's start in verse 1. We're going to read a few verses here. For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you that it was not in vain. See, this was not in vain. But even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. They ran into a lot of opposition where they went. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak. Not as pleasing men, but God which trieth our hearts. For neither at any time used we flattering words, not smooth speeches. As you know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness, nor of men sought we glory, neither of you nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. But instead of being burdensome, instead of flattering words that are causing to deceive, it says in verse 7, but we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. And we know it's talking about a nursing mother cherishing her own child. How sweet is that? That's how they were among them. Verse 8, so being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. See, there's nothing fake about these guys. For you remember, verse 9, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. We preached unto you what? The gospel of God. In opposition to fair speeches and to those smooth sounding words, to flattery is the gospel of God. You are witnesses. Hello? And God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. As you know how we exhorted, and here are our words, our friends, we exhorted and comforted, those are those two words for comfort, and charged every one of you as a father doth his children, that you would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. So instead of giving them fair speeches, instead of deceiving them, they gave them God's word. And they gave them God's word with a heart to give, to bless, to be gentle among them, to help them. It wasn't to deceive. It wasn't to steer them aside. It was to truly help. And that's what God's word does. Speaking God's word concerning the hope and concerning his word, speaking his word comforts people. I want to show you that about the hope, please, in 1 Thessalonians. Let's go to chapter 4. He gave them God's word. God's word causes comfort. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. There's a lot of words that you could speak to people when they're in need. But why speak to them something that, like Jack Bauer, might turn out to be wrong? You know, if you don't know what to say to somebody, why do you have to say anything? Just being with somebody and loving them, being by their side, could be extremely comforting, as we're going to read in Colossians. We either give them God's word or don't give them anything. Just love them. Sometimes you don't know what to say in a situation. Well, that's all right. We don't have to have every word every time. But if we do give them something that's going to bring comfort, let's make sure it's God's word. Because God can make sure of his word come to pass. We're not going to be found in the back of a pickup truck. Dead. Chapter 4, verse 13. It's not a happy thought. Okay, verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. He's talking about people who died. He says, I'm going to give you some word about this. Verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, those are cool things to think about. And then look at verse 18. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. This is God's word. There's a lot of very well-meaning religious people who give words that are smooth, but they're off of the true comfort of God's word. They tell people that their grandmother is up there in heaven and that she's watching out for them. Kind of scare me, actually. But anyway, is she seeing me now? But it's not true. Some people find a false comfort in that. But we have God's word that truly brings comfort. Don't worry, when you speak God's word, that's the thing that will bring true comfort. Sometimes people don't always want to receive God's word, but it's God's word that can exhort, can encourage us, and can bring true comfort. What else would we ever want to give anybody? So speaking God's word concerning the hope brings comfort. Manifestations, 1 Corinthians 14. So do you want to know how to comfort a believer? Well, here's an awesome one. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Jerry just talked about this verse. Chapter 14, verse 3, talking about the manifestations. And we just experienced this a few minutes ago. Verse 3, but he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. Edification, building us up, and then these two words, exhortation and comfort. Those are those words for comfort. Exhortation and comfort. The way Dr. Worrell used to translate this word for exhortation was to encourage them to a more worthy endeavor. Like God did in the manifestations this morning. God told us to walk on his word. He said, don't look at anybody else. Don't even look at yourself, but look to me. That's exhortation to us. Then God comforted us by telling us that he bears his arm for us. He told us that he takes care of us and he's tender and he loves us. That's the way the manifestations are. If you as a believer want to learn how to comfort another believer, here's an awesome way to do it. Manifestations. You've got to be speaking in tongues and interpreting and prophesying in the fellowship. And why not? You get hell all day. I go to work, I get hell all day. They're not all believers that I work with. And some of them, I don't know if they know what they are. And then I get home to the fellowship of believers, and what do I need? Somebody to yell at me? You know, what's wrong with you? What are you doing? I shall run around. He told you we were drugged, right? So, but you know what I need when I get among the believers? It's not someone who's going to judge me, not someone who's going to deceive me by fair speeches, by smooth words, but the true comfort of God. That's what I need when I get out of the hell of the world. And that's what you need too. And how comforting it is when we just heard those words this morning from our Heavenly Father, where He exhorted us, He comforted us. I don't know what it did to your heart, but it just melted my heart when I heard my Heavenly Father tell me that. That He'll bear His arm. That I don't need to go anywhere else, but I can go to His Word, and His Word is going to take care of my needs. That's the kind of comfort we need. And that's what we get in a fellowship like this when God's Word is there in the manifestations. By the way, a genuine leader is going to encourage his people. He's going to help his people. It's not going to be any kind of deceit. It's not going to be where he looks down upon people. We may need to be kicked in the pants sometimes, but we don't need to be dragged through the coals. You know what I'm saying? So a man of God, a woman of God needs to speak God's word to us and tell us where we're wrong and then help us to get on the right track. But anyone that's dragging you down, that's putting you down, there's something wrong with that leader. God says they're to be encouraging. They're to be like in Thessalonians was, as a nursing mother, and then as a father, charging, as a nursing mother, cherishing. That's the way God says it ought to be. The result of exhortation from God's word is peace. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. While we're on that topic, how do you comfort a leader? Okay, I'm sure you were asking that when you woke up this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 13. God's word handles all these things. Because we want to comfort each other. And it sure is comforting, isn't it, just being together here, hearing God's word, hearing the manifestations, and the love of the family. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 13. Therefore, we were comforted in your comfort. Wow. Yea, and exceedingly the more joyed we for the joy of Titus, because his spirit was refreshed by you all. What blessed Paul and the other leaders was that the believers were doing well, that the believers took care of Titus when he went to visit them, and that he spoke well of them, that the believers are doing great. That's what comforts the heart of a leader. And I'm sure that's true for you too, when you see somebody that you've helped in God's word and they're just doing great, that you see them do something that they believe God's word. What does that do to your heart? That's real comfort. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Can't go wrong at Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Verses 6 and 7. Am I talking slowly enough? Uh-oh. Yes, thank you, thank you. Okay, let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Okay, verse 6, please. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6. Okay, now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us. Oh, you know, it sounded pretty good, but that's not what I wanted. Okay, thank you for your help. Thanks for your exhortation. Thank you, you didn't give me smooth words. 1 Thessalonians chapter... Oh, gee, what am I doing? Okay. Didn't I want 1 Thessalonians 3? What did I read? Okay. Okay, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6. Oh, yeah, okay, this is right. Thank you for all of your exhortation and comfort. Okay. Lord have mercy. Okay, verse 6. But now, when Timotheus came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that you have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. Look at all those things, all those wonderful things. Timothy, he went to visit them, and Timothy came back, and he gave a true account. There were no smooth words here either. Timothy came back and told Paul exactly what happened. You know, if you want to comfort a leader, you're not going to give him soft soap. It's not going to be words that make the leader feel good either. You want to give him a true account. And he came back and he gave them a true account of what was happening among the believers. They brought us good tidings of your believing and your love, and that you remember us, that you care about us. That gave them great comfort. So that's how you comfort a leader. 1 Samuel chapter 30. Let's look at another leader, David. Okay, I'll try to get the right verse. 1 Samuel chapter 30. Check my notes. Okay. I'm getting all nervous. Okay, verse 6. Yeah, this is what I want. Okay. Okay, hurry up. Chapter 30, verse 6. Are we there? Okay, verse 6. It says, and David, oh, I forgot to tell you the story. I could have told you the story while you were turning there. Okay, this was a bad situation. All right? This is what happened. David and his men went out to war, and they were in this city of Ziklag. Now, that should have been a clue that something was bad. But anyway, they were in this city of Ziklag, and while they were out fighting, the Amalekites came. They took all of their women and children, and they burned the city. All right? This is kind of a bad situation for these warriors. And look at verse 6. David was greatly distressed, do you think? Not just because of what happened, but the next part of the verse, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. I don't know why it doesn't say the wives. They were grieved for the sons and the daughters, but I don't know, but I'm sure they missed their wives too, okay? But anyway, sons and daughters, it was pretty bad. Poor David. He was the leader, and he had led these people out of the city to go fight, and while they were gone, the enemy came, and they took all of their families, and they burned the entire city. What would it be like if you got home, and your house was burned, and your wife and your kids were gone? For me, that would bother me. If the dog burned, it wouldn't bother me at all, but... Anyway, so he comes back, and they spoke of stoning him. But look at what David did. And people, it doesn't matter the stakes. This can work for us too. If I get home tomorrow and my house is burned down, I hope I remember this verse. It says, but David, we're in verse 6, encouraged himself in the Lord his God. We know God's word, don't we? We can comfort ourselves. He was around believers that were not exactly comforting him. And so what did he do? He comforted himself in God's word. God's word brings comfort. And when it's dismal, we can comfort ourselves with God's word. No matter what the stakes, we need to think God's word, because God's word will bring comfort. Colossians chapter 2. If I screw this one up, we can just read it up here, so we're okay. Colossians chapter 2. Comfort comes from God's word. Colossians 2, verse 2. It says that their hearts might be what?
Comforted.
That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance and understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. It says that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love. And that's what's happening here. We're being comforted. We're being comforted because our hearts are being knit together in love. And when your hearts are knit together in love, it brings comfort. The love of God among like-minded believers brings comfort. Look at Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. And we're going to read verse 12. See, God's word has many very specific things, how we can comfort one another. And that's what we want to do. That's one thing we're learning about here, how we can encourage and comfort each other. Call to one side or speak to one side. Romans 1:11 says, "For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end that you may be established, that is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me." See, he's saying by revelation here, I want to be with you, and that your hearts and my hearts are knit together, that it's by our mutual believing that brings comfort, that brings comfort to all. 1 John chapter 3. This is our last verse this morning. 1 John chapter 3. Mutual believing among the believers brings comfort. 1 John 3. We have a responsibility in God's word to comfort one another. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. It said in Thessalonians, didn't it? That's a command from God. Did I tell you 1 John? Chapter 3, verse 17. It says, "But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him?" Every one of us has some of God's word. That means that you have something with which you can comfort. If I see somebody who has a need, I need to give them comfort. And I have God's word. It's God's word that will comfort. If I see someone who has a need, I could guess by my senses of something that might make them feel better, but that could get a little toward flattering words. I want to give them God's word. Then I'm sure that I'm going to give them words that comfort their heart, like God did in the manifestations this morning. If you know any of God's word, you can comfort another believer. So don't hold back. So let me tell you a couple things we learned about comfort, okay? God's discipline and protection bring comfort. Deliverance by God's power brings comfort. God's life-giving word brings comfort to the heart of a believer. Believing God's word brings comfort. The manifestations of Holy Spirit bring comfort. Speaking God's word concerning the hope brings comfort to the heart of a believer. Knowing that believers are doing well, that encourages leaders. The love of God among like-minded believers brings comfort. Mutual believing among believers brings comfort. And if you know any of God's word, you can bring comfort to God's people. So don't hold back. That's it.